Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been focusing on the subject of the vine and the branches. And now as we continue with more on this topic today, we'll be looking at how and why we are to abide in Christ. So let's follow along by turning in our Bibles to John chapter 15 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so Jesus says in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So again, let me just take you back to the context for a second. He's talking to these men, abide in me and I in you. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Of course, that's obvious. Jesus is calling them to abide in him, remain in me, live in me, continue to believe in me. That's what he's really exhorting these men to do. Remember, this is on the eve of his trial. His betrayal has already taken place. His trial is coming. His judgment is going to be passed. He's going to go to the cross. All of these things potentially could rock these men and rock their faith in him. But he's saying to them, abide in me. Because you can't bear fruit apart from doing that. Like a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine. And then he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Jesus is saying here simply, continue to believe in me. Remain in me. Hold fast to your faith in me. That's really what he's communicating. Now, I think some have taken this idea of abiding and they've sort of mysticized it and sort of, you know, made it into some mystical sort of a deeper thing, you know, and actually, you know, have kind of developed categories of Christians, you know, and then that deepest category is that person who's abiding. And if you abide, then you're going to experience the deeper life. There was a movement some years ago in the evangelical churches that became known as the deeper life movement. And there were books written on how to experience the deeper life. And there was a book written called Abiding. And, you know, talking about this deeper life. And yet, I think that that's pushing this further than what Jesus was actually saying. It's not a complicated thing. It's not a mysterious thing that only a few people can really tap into that can know the deeper life. This is what everybody's supposed to do. Continue believing in Jesus. Follow him. Stay close to him. Just put it in real simple terms. There's nothing mystical about it. It's just that we would, like a branch abides in the vine. There's nothing mystical about that. That's the way it is. And if the branch doesn't abide in the vine, it doesn't bear fruit. It's as simple as that. So just like a branch abides in the vine, Jesus said, you abide in me. Just stay in me. Live in me. Believe in me. Remain in me. Just plant your life in my life. That's what he's talking about. And everybody can do it. Everybody must do it. Because if we don't do it, we're like a branch that's cut off and withered. There's no possibility of fruit. But if we do it, and we all can do it, and we're all called to do it, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. You see, the secret to a fruitful life is just hanging tight with Jesus. I mean, it's as simple as that. There's no deep, mysterious thing about it. And all of us can do it. We just stick with the Lord. We just stay tight with the Lord. We're with him. We love him. We're in him. We're believing in him. We're following him. We're in him. He's in us. His word is remaining in us, as he's going to say in a moment. And all of this, Jesus said, it makes for much fruit. But then he reminds us, for without me, you can do nothing. You see, I can't do anything of any lasting spiritual value apart from Jesus. Now, again, remember, Jesus is talking to men who were part of a nation that understood itself to be the vine. And some of these men, not these particular men he's talking to, but the men that they were all associated with, many of them would in the future go on and try to bear fruit without believing that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus is just telling them straight up front that apart from me, you can do nothing. All of the works of those Jewish men, all of their good works, all of their attempts to abide by the law, and all of those things that they would go on and do and continue to do on down through the ages are of no value whatsoever in God's sight. They're completely unacceptable to God because they're trying to do things apart from Jesus. Because they're branches that have been disconnected from the vine, and they fail to realize that they have no actual fruit. Apart from Jesus, nothing of any lasting spiritual value can be offered to God. It all must come through our relationship with the Lord. And so he says, if anyone does not abide in me, and this would be the case with many, of course, much of the nation. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And this is what would happen with the majority of the nation. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Remember again, the primary promise here is to those men. Just like we looked before, that promise that whatever they asked in his name, he would do, that primary promise went to those men. There's a secondary application to us, I do believe as well. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You know, if we're abiding in Jesus and his word is abiding in us, then it would stand to reason that our desires would be for the right things. We wouldn't be asking God for foolish things. We wouldn't be asking him for things that were, you know, meant to satisfy our fleshly desires or things of that nature. We would be asking for the right things, the things of the Spirit. And then he said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So bearing much fruit, you see, God had hoped, planned for, expected Israel to be a fruitful vine, but tragically they were not. God is doing a new work. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And now God is going to be looking to see fruit come forth from this union, from this relationship. So in a sense, what Jesus is describing here is really the setting aside of that corrupted vine and the establishing of this new vine. He is the vine, and now his people, his followers, the believers, they are the branches, and the church would then become the instrument through which God would work and the people through whom God would seek to see fruit brought forth for his kingdom in this world. And we are right at the inception of that here. That's what's happening. Israel's being set aside. Jesus is now establishing a new thing. And just as God had hoped and intended for Israel to bear fruit, Jesus is saying, now, by this my Father will be glorified that you bear much fruit. You see, God is looking for his people to bear fruit. He's planned for the church to be that fruitful vine. Now, sadly, as we look at the history of the church, we find that much like Israel, the church did become corrupted. But there have always been those branches that have remained in the vine. And even though they might, to the human eye, have not been as impressive, as large, as obvious, or whatever the case, all throughout the ages, there have been those faithful ones who have been bearing fruit to the Lord. Now, what does it mean to bear fruit? When we talk about bearing fruit, bearing more fruit, much fruit, what is it exactly that Jesus is referring to? Well, the idea of fruit encompasses a lot of different things, actually. Many times we think of it almost exclusively in the sense of spiritual reproduction, in the sense of souls, in the sense of, you know, people being added to the kingdom. And so they will look at a ministry with lots and lots of people. They will say, wow, that's a fruitful ministry. Look at all the people there. Or that's a fruitful outreach. Look at all the people that came to that outreach. Look at all the people that responded to that invitation. That's fruitful. And that is part of what Jesus was referring to, undoubtedly. But that's not all that he was referring to. And that's, I think, the mistake that's made. To make it exclusively the conversion of souls is to overlook much of what is intended by this idea of bearing fruit. But it is part of it. In the fourth chapter here, perhaps you remember when we were back in chapter 4, Jesus spoke of the fields being white for harvest. He spoke of those who reaped that they would gather fruit for eternal life. So that's part of it. But we read in Romans chapter 6 that there's fruit to holiness. We read in Hebrews and in James as well that there is the fruit of righteousness. We read in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit. We read again in Hebrews about the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. So really, bearing fruit, I think, is better understood as bringing forth from our lives the life of Jesus Christ. Now think about this. You have a grapevine. You have branches on that vine, and then you have fruit on those branches. What is the fruit? The fruit are grapes. Why? Because it is a grapevine. So in this case, Jesus, of course, is using an analogy, but in this case, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches upon which the fruit will be born. What will the fruit be? Well, the fruit will be the same as the vine. So the fruit in our lives is really the life of Jesus Christ being displayed, lived out, worked out through our lives. That's what he's talking about here. And really, probably the best way to clarify it even a little bit more is to just look for a moment at Galatians 5:22, because there we're told specifically what the fruit of the Spirit is. And of course, the Spirit and Jesus are one and the same in a sense. There's a distinction between the two of them. But remember, in our last study, we saw Jesus said, I'm going to send you another helper. And we saw how the word another means another identical to me, just like me. So when we read about the fruit of the Spirit, we could just as easily refer to that as the fruit of Jesus. Because, of course, the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And so what do we read about the fruit of the Spirit? We read that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so when Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, what he's really saying is the love of God and all that that involves will be proceeding from your lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Think about that. This is a description of the life of Christ. Jesus was full of love for God, for people. Jesus was full of the joy of the Lord. He was dominated by the peace of God. He was long-suffering. Think of all that he put up with. He was always kind. He was good. Always faithful. Always gentle. Never out of control. Always in control. That is the life that God wants to flow through us and out from us, that the world might see, and that he might enjoy. You know, sometimes we can think that we're not bearing fruit. But you know, somebody said this to me one time, and as I thought about it, I thought, you know, that's a good point. Fruit does not enjoy itself or partake of itself. Fruit is there for others to enjoy and partake of. And you know, the fact of the matter is, sometimes you are being very fruitful, but you don't really necessarily see it. But all those around you, they're partaking of it. They're enjoying it. They're looking on and thinking, oh, this is wonderful fruit. And you can, in some senses, be oblivious to it. You see, the fruit is not so much for me to enjoy. The fruit that's coming forth from my life, that's for God to enjoy. That's for God to be pleased with. That's for God to be blessed with. And that's for others to be benefited by. I receive a benefit and a blessing from the fruit that's coming from your life. So if we're all bearing fruit, then we're all enjoying the blessing of that fruit that's being born. I know I can say, well, my wife is a fruitful wife spiritually, and I enjoy the fruit from her life. I enjoy the things that God's doing in her life, and watching what he's doing and listening to what he's doing and gleaning from the things that she's receiving from the Lord, I'm partaking of that fruit. So I think that's an important thing to understand. We can become discouraged because we think, well, I don't know that I'm really bearing fruit. I'm not seeing it. But you know, other people are seeing it. Other people are experiencing that fruit that's coming from your life. Other people are sensing your love for them, your concern for them. Other people are appreciating your kindness and your goodness and your faithfulness and your gentleness. And God's looking at that and he's saying, that's my disciple right there. My disciple bearing fruit bearing much fruit. By this my Father is glorified. You see, that's the thing. That's the goal of fruit, of fruitfulness. The goal of fruitfulness is that God would be glorified. The goal of fruitfulness is not for me to be glorified, for me to get the credit, get the glory. Look what he's doing. Look at all the fruit. And, you know, have all the praise coming my way, all of that sort of thing. That's not the objective. That's not the goal. The goal is that God would be glorified. And as we just faithfully remain there in Jesus, and as we just humbly go about our lives, being vitally connected to him, fruit is coming forth. It's a very natural thing that happens. It's not anything that we have to strive to see happen. And God is being glorified through it. It's like Jesus said in another place where he said that we were to let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. You see, as the light is shining, God is being glorified. People are seeing the fruit in your life, in my life, and God is getting the glory for it. It's all related to this one simple thing, abiding. Just hanging in there with Jesus. Just being tight with Jesus. Just like a branch. If you want to know what abiding means, just tomorrow morning when you get up, go outside, look at a tree, look at a bush, and look at those branches and see how they're connected to that vine, to that root, to that trunk, whatever it is. And that's the picture. That's the picture right there. That's what it is. What that is picturing is what my life is to be all about. Being connected to Jesus, because apart from him, I can do nothing. And if a branch is severed from him, then it becomes absolutely worthless. It is good for nothing whatsoever. Ultimately, it will be collected and thrown into the fire. But abiding in him, that's the message. That's the encouragement. And he, as the wise vine dresser, the Father, he knows when we need a pruning. He knows when we need to be trimmed back. And he will do that occasionally in our lives. But remember, it's for a greater good. It's for more fruitfulness down the road. So don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. As we're told in Hebrews, don't faint when we are rebuked by the Lord. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he purges. Whom the Lord ordains more fruit from, he prunes. But in the end, the pruning always produces a more fruitful life. And that's the good news. Lord, help us to abide in you. Just that simple instruction. Thank you, Lord, that it's not some mystical thing that we can't figure out. Only a few people can tap into. But Lord, it's just the simple reality for each and every one of us. Just abiding in you like a branch in the vine. And Lord, you said that that relationship would produce much fruit. And so, Lord, we just take you at your word, and we're going to abide in you. And Lord, bring forth all the fruit you want to from our lives. Lord, may your spirit, may your life flow through us to bring forth that good fruit for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Pastor Brian just reminded us, the chastening that occurs in our lives is for the purpose of producing more fruit. And this should be an encouragement to all of us that are desiring to live that more abundant life in Christ. And we'll continue with more valuable lessons from the Gospel of John next time, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Vine and the Branches. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3256. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.